Name of narrator, I'll be interviewing Delbert Hayward. The interviewer is me, Ulrich Oleron. Today is October 12, 2005. It's about 2:45 p.m. Interviewing Delbert in Welsh Hall.
Apartment
number 5. And my topic in the interview is the hunting methods, the tools, and how they take care of the things they caught. And the first question I'm going to ask is, what are the type of things that Tsimshian people hunted or hunt today?
Most of the hunting today is deer. Deer is very plentiful there in southeast. The white tail, they're not very big. They're probably dressed out, maybe lucky to reach 100 pounds. Since we didn't have much of a culture during my growing up years, all our hunting methods were, you know, the modern culture. Rifles, it wasn't that much. It's no different now than it was then, you know, when I was a boy. So, you know, we'd go out on our fishing boats in the wintertime. There'd be a whole bunch of us young guys that go out on this boat. We'd camp, anchor out wherever the bay we select to do our hunting. We may move around out there, depending on how much sign there were around, you know. I remember there was a place called Smeaton Bay where we hunted that. I remember that was probably in high school, probably 16, 18 years, somewhere in that age.
Was that Smeaton Bay?
Yeah, that's right near Ketchikan. It's not very far from where we live, maybe. 5 or 6 hour run by boat. We spent about a week out there, and we got a whole lot of deer.
And you catch those in the mountains?
Huh?
In the hills, in the mountains?
Yeah, you know, on the shore, we do, you know, it's illegal to hunt deer at night. They come down to the beaches at night and feed on the salt. The kelp and things like that, in the salt water. They like salt. They love it. So they come down at night and you can see them. You know, wear these mining lights that the dog mushers use. Mm-hmm. We use the same thing, but what we do is we put on the front side, we put a white piece of paint on the back side of the front sight, then down at in the back part, on the iron side on the back, you put a dot right at the V. So when you're out there with that light out there, it'll stand out. And you use that move over the side, and you get set. Just watch for their eyes. Shine in the night. Mm-hmm. You wait for them to look at you. And they do, they just track the light.
Mm. They don't run away?
They don't. Stare and stare and freeze. It's an easy shot. That's probably why the fish and game don't want you to hunt that way.
Because
they normally deer, when they see you,
run away.
They run away right now. And we used to call them, we'd make these deer calls. It almost sound like a sheep or something like that. Mm-hmm. And those are illegal. Mm-hmm. But when we get out on the, we used to make them right there, where we get on the beach, just to. There's some guys can use their lips to call them. I could never do it.
Is it like a high pitch?
Yeah, really. I'm kind of compared with that. There's no animal up here that I can compare it with. Maybe their sound.
Do they almost sound like elk?
But a higher pitch.
But a higher pitch.
Yeah. And they respond to those deer calls very well.
Is that a female or a male call?
It depends on the rut, you know. You have both. You make it sound like a buck or a doe. Like I say, we made them right out there. Some guys used to make them real fancy. They had the horn on it, you know, so they could amplify the sound coming out. They use a rubber band on the back end of it to generate the high pitched sound blowing. Some of them were really elaborate. I mean, the simple one is you use a couple. You could use your finger, put a glass or grass in between your fingers and hold it tight and blow on it with that and make the same sound. Like I say, we did a lot of our hunting at night because it was easy. You got a lot of deer at night.
And then that was your main game?
Yeah.
For feeding your families?
Yeah. A long time ago, I remember when I was a kid, and we'd go down to the docks and the hunters would come back. Everybody would come down and meet them at the docks. The boat would be loaded down with deer, you know, the fishing boats, the big boats. My dad's got a fishing flag, I got a picture of it. 58 feet long, 18 feet wide.
Oh, God, big boat.
And the hatch is deep as this. How wide the boat is. It's piled up with deer and deer in there.
Mm.
And you hand them out.
Mm. People over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that when I was a little boy.
Now, is the population of the deer always high?
It seems to hold its own, you know, even though it's high. And there's high level of hunting there is. Plentiful.
And then the deer is there any other like wolves that hunt?
We have wolves, yeah. We got wolves and bears.
Wolves and bears who hunt the deers also?
Yeah. And but like I say, it's of all the animals down there, the deer are, you know, they multiply pretty fast. You know, they're pretty fast too. They can get away from predators pretty easily.
So, as far as you could remember, since Shien had first contact way earlier than a lot of other cultures, that your hunting methods changed to the white man way.
Yeah, that's guns. Right. We had guns, and of course we had these big fishing boats, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all modern, up-to-date boats, you know.
Yeah.
And also the picture of my dad's.
Because like some villages today, they still use traditional hunting methods.
Yeah, I know.
On the Yukon River.
Uh-huh.
They use throwing spears to catch seals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always fun to watch. But even like where I'm from in Chivac, the hunting methods that we use are like everybody else, guns.
Mm-hmm.
But after we, like when we hunt a seal, we'll shoot it, and if we hit it, we'll quickly run over, speed over to it, and then harpoon it so it doesn't sink.
I've seen that happen out in Bristol Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing.
Yeah, but all our other hunting methods is guns.
Yeah.
And so, today is, like, compared to when you were younger, today is hunting a big part of Tsim Shian's way of life?
Yeah.
As far as, like, feeding the family?
It comes, you know, it's not as, the modern culture is the dominant source of food right now. And a lot of the native foods that we get are to supplement what we get from the stores. It's not the major part of it. We can do it. We can live without it. We have to.
You could live without
the native foods.
Okay. And is there a lot of families with that have a hard time getting modern food and use hunting?
Probably so. Normally, the jobs and stuff like that, where people make their money and stuff, is fairly, plentiful. So, and because of that, a lot of our culture got left behind, and everybody gravitated toward the modern culture.
Mm-hmm. So, hunting is like a it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
It's like a...
So if I don't hunt this year, big deal. I'm not going to be short of food for the year, Mm-hmm. That wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. I remember as a little boy that we'd run short. I recall not eating for a whole week.
So it would be like hunting deer would probably be like be a vacation or
something for fun. A lot of sport. The same way with fishing. A lot of guys are sport fishing, but we still utilize all that fish the same way you did a long time ago, and processing, drying, canning, and all the different ways of processing. We still utilize a lot of that.
Is there any moose or
not down
in
there
area?
On the mainland, perhaps, but not on the islands. Mm-hmm. And all the time, there's guys that go hunting the moose down there, but there are just a few guys that'll do it. But they have to go on the mainland. Mm-hmm. And, there's not many guys willing to go out there and hunt the moose. Mm-hmm. So it's a rarity that you see moose around my village. Mm-hmm.
Is it like a long boat trip?
Yeah.
To go to the mainland?
Uh-huh.
How long is
that? You have to take the rivers up farther inland too to get to the hunting areas. Way, way back in some into Canada.
Mm-hmm. And besides deer, what other types of traditional food can you remember getting when you were younger?
Grouse. We got a lot of grouse down there.
That's like a ptarmigan?
Yeah. Same thing. I remember we used to hunt them with 22s a lot.
And you guys would make soup out of it?
Yeah,
dry,
yeah.
Ptarmigan?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you fry it.
Any other type of birds?
Geese. Not too much of that. We stayed away from the bear. Bear meat. Most people don't eat it. Some do, but it's not a favorite meat because we got a lot of fish down there that the bears feed on, and they don't like that taste of the meat.
Get only brown bears?
Same way with geese. They feed on fish down there, and I don't like geese myself.
The taste is fishy?
Uh-huh. What is the other?
The bear meat. Is it only brown bear?
They're brown and black bear.
Black bear?
Yeah. They're mostly black bear on the islands.
And the black bear would taste better than the brown bear?
I don't know. I never eat it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had black bear up here, and man, it was good.
Yeah, the best time to hunt the bears is during the fall time when they're eating berries.
Uh-huh.
It really depends on what they're eating.
Uh-huh.
It gives the flavor of the
meat.
Like when they're eating fish, no one will hunt them.
Uh-huh.
when they're eating berries, they'll start to, gives it a sweeter taste. So bears isn't a real prize catch down there. And moose is a once in a while.
Very seldom. I don't, you know, all the years that I lived down there, I've never seen a moose run into our town. But I heard recently, like, you know, nowadays they do it. I heard my son talking about it. They wanted to do it. And there's been a few guys, I would say less than five guys, that have gone out where they got one another, I don't know.
Probably the price of gas plays a big role.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Accessibility of them is pretty remote.
Yeah. Where Chilac is on the Waikiki Delta up on the coast, it wasn't until about 20 years ago they started hunting moose. And from Chilac it's a 4 or 5 hour boat ride till we get to moose country going inland.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 7-8 hours, we're in the heart of moose country. So it wasn't until 20 years ago they discovered moose in our area. And now in the, it's called the Kashunuk River. It comes off the Yukon River. The Kashunuk goes down towards our area. And then that Kashunuk River is, this past year had about 2,000 moose in that river. So there's a lot of moose now. Moose is a pretty big dive these days. Not traditional at all. So has there been any other type of food that the Tsimshian discovered that really wasn't traditional? Or has they already knew about things like halibut,
No, they knew. That was always available.
Oh, that was?
Yeah.
What were some of the ways, how they catch halibut, how they catch on shrimp?
Today you could catch them on poles, you know. The favorite way of going out is on long, what they call long line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the water, say you have a buoy with a line going down to the bottom. And on the bottom, you got this line that lays on the bottom to another anchor on up to another buoy. This line is got what they call ganyons, or you know, short lines, about maybe a fathom long, 6 feet long, with a hook on it that's tied to this main line that lays on the bottom, about every 12 feet, with bait on it. Just let it lay down there and the halibut come after it, or whatever fish that happened to be down there. There's a lot of other types of fish down there too, and you know, we get halibut, red snapper, eels, what else? Codfish, different kinds of codfish. I like that black codfish. We don't get that very often, not that plentiful. And we call devilfish, where they're actually octopus. Get that too. Catch it on this long line.
So what things would you catch on long line? All those things that you mentioned?
Yeah.
With the long line, you catch them?
Yeah.
Is that how they did it long ago?
That's how it's done commercially now. Before it was just single line, you know, and let it drop the bottom with the bait on it. We, as kids, we used to use that old method.
Just a single line?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We used to use about anything for bait. We used to use bacon, fish heads, any kind of fish bait. And one of the favorites is the octopus, because you can use that bait over and over.
They're tougher?
Yeah. Mm. It's even favored in a commercial.
So the more traditional way was a single line,
Yeah.
How they caught those,
mm-hmm.
like jigging.
Mm-hmm.
What did they make their line out of?
Well, back then it was all these little, you know, the twine that was used was cotton. That was used, you know, even on their netting a long time ago. I remember as a little boy that they used to tar the web. Tar. Jesus. To start with, it's really hard to work with because when the sun hit it, it all stick together, you know. And the net goes out and goes out in big chunks and you gotta stretch it out. And it may be that way for half the summer. Finally, the tar kind of wears off. And the net gets more flexible and doesn't stick together as much. And it goes out nice. But by the time that happens, it's almost time to put a new, you know, trade out the old web for the new one and start all over again. But nowadays they got nylon and polyethylene and they don't have to tar those.
So the cotton, what is that out of?
That was made out of cotton.
Out of cotton?
Uh-huh.
And then because it wasn't that strong, they put the tar on?
Yeah, that, and then try to make it last longer. Mm-hmm. You know, it wears out pretty fast. On the average, you're lucky to get 3 seasons out of a cotton net. But on polyethylene or nylon, you know, you're going to get 10 years out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily.
And then you use a net to catch different types of fish?
Yeah, mostly salmon. You know, they do have all the different species of salmon down there. Most of the salmon down in the southeast is pinks or humpies. The more valued fish, like the sockeye, is not as plentiful, but they're the money fish. They do catch it.
You guys also caught herring fish?
Yeah.
And how would you prepare herring fish?
We don't prepare it. We sell it to the Japanese.
You guys just not
draw
herring?
No. There used to be a long time ago, I guess, but not.
Not anymore.
They used to. I remember as a kid, the only thing that we really did with the herring was pickle it or salt it. I remember eating it salted. The only reason I didn't like it was so bony.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted good and all that, but just too much bones.
Yeah, when we catch our herring, we'll dry it.
Mm-hmm.
And dried herring, and sometimes we'll take a portion of it and put it in a seal skin and fill it with seal oil. And have a poked herring soaked in, that's herring soaked in seal oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that seal oil would keep us real warm in the winter or spring. So when we eat the poked salmon or poked herring, it would keep our body warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would half dry the herring and then they would let it sit and age it. They put it underground, age it, and have a half-dried, aged herring. And those are pretty good. Really good. So you guys would just sell off the herring, probably because you had a lot of other fish like this.
Yeah, we had a wide variety of fish available, rock cod, red snapper, you know, you name it. And there's fish we catch we've never seen. Maybe once in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, I'll catch some of these strange fish, probably way down deep in the deepest part of the ocean. Once in a while, tell you that the currents will take them up and we'll catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Weird looking fish.
You guys are throwing back in the ocean?
Yeah, we never catch them.
Mm. Yeah. With, like, the change of the temperature in water, have you seen any changes in the fish or anything you guys catch in the sea?
You know, that yeah, because of the warming.
Global warming,
yeah. There's been a change in my lifetime where they're seeing a lot of these tropical fish that normally never went above a certain point. A lot of it is starting to show up in the northern waters of the Gulf. And they're catching them. Now that's the same way with deer. They're starting to see deer not too far from here. You know, that was never done. You know, you see a lot of deer down in around Whitehorse now. A lot of that is, part of that is starting to show up. You know, they saw deer around Tok. Never done it, never seen before. Mm-hmm. They're attributing that to the global warming.
So deer is moving up further north?
Yeah, a lot of the animal life is doing that. A lot of it's being forced up by the, you know, man taking over land down there. Bears are that way, deer are that way. A lot of the, you know, big predators are that way. Mountain lions, things like that.
And do you guys have, what are the types of predators in the sea in your guys' area?
The big one is the killer whale.
Have you guys ever encountered them feeding? Their methods?
They're
pretty smart.
They're called the wolves of the sea. Mm-hmm. They're smart. They love salmon and they love seals.
Are there any beluga whales gone that way?
Not there, you know, but there are a lot of them on Bristol Bay. I fished out there and fishing and I've seen a lot of that up in the rivers.
Have you guys ever seen killer whales catching seals?
I haven't.
You haven't?
Uh-huh.
There's a Chivac is 6 miles inland from the coast, and there's an island right in Hooper Bay. The Chivac River goes out to Hooper Bay, and then Hooper Bay is about 12 miles long, and then that opens up into the Bering Sea. But in Hooper Bay, there's an island in the center, further to the left when you're heading out towards the Bering Sea. That sand island, it'll get a lot of driftwood from the floods. A lot of driftwood will go up and people go pick them. There's this one family who was getting some driftwood and they saw a huge pod of killer whales, beluga whales,
mm-hmm.
and they were going real fast. And behind them they saw about 5-6 killer whales. These belugas were running away as fast as they could. These killer whales made a semi-circle and trapped about 4 or 5 belugas up towards the, right to that sand island. Those belugas were going up in one area, right in front of this one family from Chiva. These killer whales were in a semi-circle, exactly distanced apart, and they saw the killer whales' fins, all of them, coming up at the same time,
mm-hmm.
all about 7 or 8 killer whales. All the fins come up at the same time, then all of them go down at the same time, all 7. And the fins went underwater, and then where the belugas were, they started seeing bubbles. Then a lot of blood. And this family was just watching, observing. Those beluga whales were getting eaten up by the killer whales. And then the killer whales, because they knew there was a family of humans watching on the shore, after the killer whales were done eating, a big slab about 2 foot by 2 foot of the beluga skin, fat, and meat popped up and then came up to the shore. And then that family went over, picked it up, the killer whales were swimming away. And they picked up this perfectly cut slab of quail, just a perfect square, about 2 foot by 2 foot. And those killer whales gave it to the humans. Killer whales knew they were watching. Maybe they saw them when they all came up, looked up, maybe, and then went down and started their feed. But yeah, the killer whales are real smart. Our ancestors used to say they think like humans. And whenever you encounter them, just leave them alone. They'll leave you alone.
No, we never bother. Even big, big whales, you know, we don't bother. And they used to come up to us, you know, when we were traveling, come up alongside. And just, you know, the tails is going about that fast, they keep right up, and that's, you know, big whales.
Humpback?
Yeah.
Gray whales?
Mm-hmm.
You guys never hunted those?
No. And we don't. Perhaps a long time ago they did, you know, but not anybody nowadays. In fact, I don't think they're allowed hunting down there. It's a sanctuary down southeast. You know, all the, where the whales are, all lot of us inside passages there. You see them all. When you go on the ferry down there, you're just almost sure to run into them. Just all over the place. And you see those killer whales too.
When you were growing up, you used to travel around on, like, go to different camping grounds for like a fish camp or
yeah.
a berry camp. Or
we had all those kind of camps.
What were the type of seasons and camping that you guys would do? Like
most of it for fish, you know, the salmon. We had one that was on a little ways, not very far, within 2 miles of Middle Cala, a place called Hemlock. It's a little like a camp village on there. They put it there because there was a natural spring that was on the island, natural spring in the middle of the island. That's where we got our water from, you know, for the camp. We'd go back there and dip all these spring buckets on the back of the camp. That's been that way for as long as I remember. And I did talk to my grandparents who did it back then, you know, when they were kids. So that was pretty well established camp. It's not there today, because they don't, you know, since our parents didn't do that anymore. The following generation didn't do it either.
You're talking about going to fish camp?
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore?
No.
But when you guys went to fish camp, what would you guys, the type of fish you'd catch?
Yeah, that one place in Hemlock was mainly dog salmon, or what they call chums. Because there was a chum stream right there. Right next to the camp. We used to use nets, beats we call beat sings. Surround the fish and then kind of pull the bottom closed, pull it up on the boat. We just had the net and the cork line on it. Then you grab the cork line and pull it toward the boat and take all the slack out of the web, you know, until all the fish are bunched up. Pull it aboard.
And that's the commercial fishing?
No, that's that. No, commercial fishing is a little different. I'll show you that the way it's done on the commercial boats. But that was the way we did it in camp.
The way you guys did it?
Yeah, in camp with my grandparents. That was a lot of fun too. Grandfather would just act like a little kid when he's out there.
Yeah, we would set
sing songs, you know, any songs. How are we doing it?
Yeah. Out in Chivac we use just set net. sit in it and check it during the tides. Not the way you guys did it, huh?
Well, they do it now. They got gill nets, like the set nets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get that. They do it that way commercially nowadays, too. But it seemed like the fleet has shrunk. A lot of people are getting away from it now, even in person, like the picture I showed. There are not very many of those boats around anymore.
Not enough money in it?
Yeah, there's a lot of fish, but there's no, the pricing is no good. It was the opposite when I was a young man. Because I wanted to fish, you know, when I wanted to get my own boat when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But fishing just died away. Our parents and grandparents started to encourage us to get out and go back to school.
So at Hemlock, you guys would go for catching salmon?
Uh-huh. There was other things there too, like crabs and sea cucumbers.
How did you guys catch crabs? You guys mean crab pots?
That, or we take a long skinny pole and spear them, you know, from, and try to get down maybe the highest ceiling or shallow.
You can see them down
there?
Yeah,
you can see them falling. The water's just clear.
Oh.
You know, all around down there. The water's just clear.
Mm-hmm. So you would spear them?
Yeah, as kids we did that.
Come up one by one?
Or else, yeah, or you have these pots, you know, these traps.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got these, and the fish, you put a piece of bait right in the middle of this. You know, the pods are about that tall, and some of them are square, some are round. And you suspend this bait right in the middle, and then you have these entryways coming into this, right toward the bait. And the hole where the crab crawls through is right close to the bait. And maybe these entryways, maybe three or four of them, you know, coming toward the bait. And the crabs come in and try to get in there and fall down inside the trap.
Without reaching the
yeah.
bait. And then sea cucumbers.
Those were just, they looked like a cucumber. Warty looking, you know, when you look at a big cucumber, and they get maybe a foot, maybe 18 inches long, and they're just filled with water. It's like a balloon.
Mm.
You know, when you take it, when you cut them apart, there's nothing in them but water. All the live part of it is just, you know, just underneath the skin. And there's maybe under that, maybe about the thickness of your little finger of meat all the way around. And inside just water.
And those will be right on the beach?
Well, they're down in below the tide line.
How do you guys catch them?
You could just, you know, take a stick and roll them ashore.
Well, yeah.
Or else spear them, you know. It's cute. Nowadays, commercially, they die for them.
They die for them?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's so it's one of the bigger fisheries right now.
So there were salmon, crabs, sea cucumbers that you guys got at Hemlock. Is there anything else?
Halibut. And we'd catch a lot of these, what they call the, I guess they're referred to as sand sharks. They only get about that big. They look like a regular shark. They get about that long.
Sand sharks?
Yeah, we call them dog. Dogfish. Yeah, kids, I don't know what their scientific name is, but we call them dogfish as kids. They look like a regular shark. We just like to cut them open, the females, and pick the babies out of them. They still have that egg sac on them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and play with them, you know, and kill them or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They swim around, they're real slow. You know, you pretty much control them.
Mm-hmm. You guys would eat them, sand sharks?
No.
No?
Only when we were kids, we used to catch them for their liver and just cut them out and then sell them to the cold storage. And they pay. You ever heard of cod liver oil? That's where it come from.
What kind of oil?
Cod liver oil. Okay, a long time ago when we were kids in school, they would serve that to us because of its long, it's a high vitamin content, you know, and an omega-3. I don't think they knew about it back then, but anyway, they used to give it to the kids, just like vitamins. Terrible tasting stuff. None of us liked it. But they used to give it to us every morning.
How long do you get from it?
5 minutes now.
5 minutes. Okay, I guess we'll... was there any other camping grounds you guys would use?
Yeah, there was a place where we went to get seaweed. That was the primary function of that camp. But in addition to that, we also, there was a good hunting, deer hunting area.
What was this camp called?
Cape Shacken.
Cape Shacken?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell Shacken?
C-H-A-C-O-N. C-H-A-C-O-N.
And you guys got deer there also?
Yeah, there was a lot of deer there, as I remember. But the main function for us is to gather. There was other things like crab and sea cucumber there as well. But the main purpose we went there for was the seaweed. We dry it right there, right on the beach. After gathering it.
Then how would you guys eat that? Just eat it?
You could eat it just like that, or you could roast it and get more crunchy, you know. I like it that way. The other way is chop it up after you know that. What they would do is they put it in a real thin mat and they're drying it. And maybe 2 feet by 2 feet, maybe by 2 feet. And they do in that. Then the first thing they did was they put all these slabs of seaweed after it's dried and put them in sheets. They had the kids jump on them to crush it up. And they put the four ends together and tie them so the seaweed won't come out of it. And they had the kids jump all over it, crush it up into small pieces. The other ones they dried a little thicker, mats, and then they dry it real good, and then they cut it in strips, reels and arrows, things cut, and then chop it. And you'll have little cubes of seaweed. And I like it that way, so you like to take a different grease.
Is that seaweed the same as like what they use in the Oriental foods for sushi?
Similar, very similar, yeah.
They taste the same?
Pretty much.
Yeah, they taste real good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that wraps it up for the questions I have. We're about out of time right now.
Yeah. Okay.